pandemic got us into a reflective space and made us look inward to see what we can do for the world at large. As a self-expression coach, I became a catalyst for women and started Vani, a one-on-one coaching program for women on finding their voice, to speak up, to be visible. As a storyteller, I spotted there were many ordinary people amongst us leading extraordinary lives, making a difference to the world, and they needed to be heard. Thus was born You and I with Rashmi Shetty, where amazing personal journeys with their uniqueness and individuality are showcased. A reaffirmation of the fact, open your eyes wider, the world is far more beautiful when we acknowledge the presence of both you and I. Our guest today is Shraddha Subramanian, an award-winning business and executive coach, India's first intuition expert, creator of the Jackpot Method for Businesses, and founder and CEO of Sparkling Soul. Healing through cancer, she transitioned from employee to entrepreneur as her purpose evolved to impact this world by enabling organizations and businesses live their complete potential. Being a national level hurdle racer, she loves speed, makes her coaching very innovative and disruptive. She believes everything you desire is available now. And with her intuitions, she can identify deep-rooted subconscious blocks in just 3 minutes of time. She has almost 20 years of leadership experience, 3,500 plus hours of coaching experience, impacting 7,500 lives from 21 different countries. She works with the country's top 5 business owners and CEOs in various industries and has helped them generate exponential growth with ease. She is also the founder of a social initiative, SJT Wellness Center, which is focused to bridge treatment and healing of cancer patients. Listen in as Shraddha shares her inspirational journey. Been such a pleasure talking to you, Shraddha, and I'm so happy this conversation is happening today. Welcome to You and I with Rashmi Shetty.
Thank you so much, Rashmi. It's an honor, I would say, to be here, because You and I is an important conversation that's going to happen here today. I'm really looking forward for it.
You know, You and I stand for uniqueness and individuality that each of us carry, and each of us is a storybook who needs to be read, needs to be referred to. And that's the concept behind this entire podcast. Your story, your world. So I'm now curious what little Shraddha Subramanian was like to the Shraddha Subramanian that the world knows you today as.
Oh, wow. That's a very beautiful question. And I would say internally, she has not changed much. So the fun, the being alive, and dreaming all the time, desires to create an impact. I think that had stayed. And I would say the most important thing which stayed is coaching, because I was introduced to coaching at the age of 10 when I started my journey of sports. And then I think today being a coach, it's like, my life is a full circle, I would say. I know I can connect the dots with ease. So coaching 30 years is like me. And I would say as a little Shraddha, I've always been a fun-oriented who would want to be like enjoying life whatever way possible. And today as well, I feel that. But I think the journey had been, I would say it gave a lot of churning inside. So I would be like the 10-year-old and now the 41 years old. She's different in her own perspective. Though that child is still alive, she is fun, she enjoys life. But then the level of awareness, that's different. I think the values are crystal clear. Those were not at that moment. Maybe as a child, you are not clear about what is value and all of that. Though you go on living, of course, but today The value is very clear in terms of contribution, connection, the impact, all of that is very, very clear. And whatever it requires and takes me to be that person, I think I'm living that every day. So that awareness has come in. I would say the challenges that life offered in the past 10, 12 years has fast-tracked my journey to be at that awareness level. Maybe which I would have not reached even at 60. When I see, I'm not comparing, but when I see a person maybe elder to me 10 years, 15, 20 years, and then they sometimes say, how are you that much aware? How do you know all of that? And especially the intuition's part of it. And I say, I think I was grilled enough to cover up the journey much faster than I would have. So I feel blessed about it. So grateful that I am the chosen one.
I love that statement, I'm the chosen one. But before we get to that statement, I want to know who grilled you and what was your journey as a little kid like? How were you in school? Were you somebody who was completely into extracurricular? What was your childhood like? Where was it? And how did the evolution happen?
So I was a very naughty child. Though very studious as well. So like pretty much throughout, first in the class and would study well. But at the same time, the studies happened because I was into sports. I feel sports played a huge role in my life. The health, the focus, the mindset, I think it developed me overall. Carrying yourself, how do you show up? Whatever way it is at the competition, you are showing up fully. You are leaving everything behind in that moment. And that race is like the final race of your life. So every race I ran, it actually brought the other side of me and gave me so much. While practicing, while preparing for the races and then, you know, participating in the events. While practicing also, my coach was very strict about it. He won't give you the leeway that, okay, today you are not well. So, okay, fine, take a off or take a break. He would grill you more, saying that, what if this state comes up at the competition? What if you had to run the race in such a situation? And that gave me an understanding that no matter what, you show up. Whatever it is, you show up. If you have committed, you show up. And commitment has been one of my values, that if I have committed, I would show up. Whatever it is. And that shows up in my coaching. In my work, everything around me revolves around commitment. So that is one of the aspects. I've been very naughty child per se, as I mentioned. So my mother had to work a lot around me because I would do some stuff and then keep on doing some pranks and stuff like that. But it's fine. I think today I feel that it was a part and parcel of the journey. And I'm so grateful to both of them that they thought that I should be enrolled for sports. And because of them, after the fifth standard, I started into sports coaching. And I am a national level hurdle racer. And I missed my India camp though. So that's one of the failure part in between that you were asking, like, what was the grill? So that was the first grill. And the grill was not the failure. The grill was more that you practiced a lot, as in the sleep also, I used to cross hurdles because I am a hurdle racer. So in the sleep also, I used to do that. So that much of practice, that much of going in that race already, even before you are physically entering that race and then still not making it. So that is grilling. That is grilling. The work, all the work you do, and then, you know, it gets shattered away in just a moment. So that was one part of it. Then as I grew up after 12th, I did the engineering, and I joined the corporate workforce. But while I was happy, I was doing whatever I was doing. 2012, I met cancer, and that was one of the another experience where having physically doing good and also mentally because of the mindset and all of that, I still got it. So that was another deep space, which came out to be a blessing to evolve my purpose in coaching. So that's how I moved on to coaching. That was the turning point. That was another one. When I started on my solopreneur journey after leaving my corporate world, definitely you are the solopreneur. And then for you to operate at the highest potential, and no one in my family owns a business or runs a business, none of them, all of them are employees. So there's a great shift, like as a family as well, which I'm very proud of, you know, in that space. And I'm sure my parents would be, they are no more, but definitely they would be very proud of this move of mine. But it took a toll, completely a toll. My daughter was 2 years old. My mother was almost in the palliative care of cancer. And after she passed away, my father also got it and he also passed away. So the grief was also so much of back-to-back losing the parents. You are on a solopreneur journey and you have no clue because there's no support. The entrepreneur journey has been so challenging per se to start with. The first 2 years had been very challenging. After 2020, I figured out the space, though I was working slowly, slowly to whatever pace I could. But after 2020, then I picked it up in 2021, 22. And I think I could go much faster, I felt, versus the normal journey a coach would go through. And that's why I said that the last 10 years had grilled me so much to help me scale up at a very different level. So I am grateful whatever came my way. And the grills actually made me much stronger. So I'm grateful for that. So that's about my grilling journey that you've been asking for.
This is such a positive way, because normally when we use the word grill, it has a negative connotation, but you have evolved with each grilling session.
Absolutely.
That you've had.
Absolutely. And I've loved grilling. And now every time there's a dip, I know there is a beautiful side, other side. And then even if I'm feeling messed up in that space, I still have that faith that there is something better on the other side coming up. So now over a period of time, I have developed that faith that, okay, you're being grilled for some reason. You don't know as of now, so be with it. But then when it shows up for you, you will know that it's going to be like expansive, magnificent in its own way.
Yeah, expansive. Wow, magnificent. Very extremely positive words. Yeah. And two words you use when you are super thrilled with what life gives you beyond your expectation is when you use these two words. But through your story, Shraddha, you mentioned your parents and you mentioned you as well, being afflicted with cancer. Now, that's one word somewhere which kind of puts a forced full stop in many people's lives the moment they hear the word.
True.
While everything takes a back step, what kept you motivated? Does the sportsmanship spirit that was there as part of you helping you at that point of time? If you can just take a couple of steps back to understand what kept you positive and motivated through that grill, it'll be amazing.
Yeah, so I would say what kept me going was definitely the mindset part of it, that there is some element that has entered your body, which you don't know about, how it came and all of that. But then that's also a space of curiosity that why it did. And today I know why it did. And I can decode it for many more people now, that why it happens or why it has happened for you. So I went into that deep observation, deep knowing. And I think the awareness also developed from that space more about my own being, what exactly I am being in that moment to attract something of this in my system. So that has been one of the approach I would say I've been taking. Nonetheless, and the second one, obviously, I would say, because I have always been considered as the strongest person in the family. I would say that, like, people look up to you, right? Because you are good at sports, you're good at studies, you're good at that, this, you know, you show up everywhere, and then you are actually doing so good. And suddenly there is a space where possibly you don't want to hide, but then the situation maybe calls for it. So what kept me going was that having that cover outside that everything is well. Though I know what price I had to pay for that later, I'll come on to that. But I made sure that people are okay with it, and they are not seeing me empathetically, like, okay, oh, I mean, pitying on me or something of that sort, because I never wanted that to happen in any way. So I kind of was protecting myself from that gesture of people, and also showing up for my own family members and my people that it's okay, it's fine, you know, it's doesn't matter, it will be over and all of that. So that was the second approach which I took. And the third one, which was, I think, a big game changer. And I would actually urge this for a lot of people who are going through cancer or who are just diagnosed with cancer, is to not give up on your goals. So while personally on the health front, I was dealing with all that, I had not given up on my professional goal. So I was diagnosed in August, September sometime, and December I had to travel to London for work to take over a global role. That was the plan. And in such situations, possibly people would go back to work and say, I don't want to do this and all of that. But then what I did was I made it clear to my boss that this is what it is. And maybe I will not take time off, but maybe I'll leave early and then log in from home. All of that arrangement was done. Grateful for that space as well. But I didn't give up on that goal, which kept me going. So every day I just visualize that I have traveled, I'm doing the handover, and I'm there, and this is what is happening. And I kept myself on with that. So it is very important that on one end, if there are things not working, you know, pick up something on the other side, have some goals on the other side. You know, it's like you are not looking at the speed breaker. You are looking at the destination beyond that speed breaker. And I really want everyone to look at that destination and not look at the speed breakers. It could be any kind of speed breaker. It doesn't have to be cancer, or it doesn't have to be anything. It can be simplest of your challenge that you feel today that this is not working. Another question also I ask a lot of cancer patients is, like, if it was a fever or cold, would you give up on your goals? And then they say no. Right. We will not, because it will, if we know that it's going to be 1 or 2 days, and then I will be fine, and this will be, you know, I will be fit for that thing to go on. And I'm like, then treat cancer like that. Why are you giving it so much of importance that you are actually giving all of it to it, you know, to the cancer? It's not required. And I think that was the biggest game changer, especially for me, that I kept on looking forward for my goal. And that is the whole three things. When I look back, I see that this is what it is. Coming back to the point number two, because I was protecting myself from not sharing what I was feeling inside, that showing up with vulnerability never happened. And I was unknowingly piling up stuff inside, which I had to make efforts later to shed it out, whatever way. But it had to go because it didn't belong to me. So yeah, when you show up strong all the time, it doesn't work. You have to show up with vulnerability. You have to be, you know, ready to receive that support. Though I have always been open to ask for support, like during that phase, my team helped me and all of them were always there. When I said, I can't do this, they stood up and they did it, whatever was required. In that way, I was open. But I am feeling low was never a statement that came out openly to anyone. So I think that is also important to accept.
Yeah, that's so true, you know, but having seen both your parents go through it, from where did you build that resolve, Shraddha, to say that I'm not giving up? From where did that entire, you saw both your parents go through it. How did you build your resilience?
So my father was diagnosed much later. So it was my mother before me who was diagnosed, and, you know, because she was stage four already when she was diagnosed. And I think the emotional turmoil happened then more because, you know, that was the first in the family, and maybe it was like almost life ending, like, and that was our first encounter with cancer per se in general as a family and as a closest person to me. So having gone through her journey for already for 2 years, I think, and seeing her heal through it, through whatever way is possible, because it was her, you know, willpower, her own sheer desire to live. So she was receiving treatment, but internally, we all were there for her, and she was also willing to live. She had not given up. So this not giving up attitude is both my parents. So I have been gifted with this, you know, value of not giving up, the strength of not giving up from both my parents. Like, they both had been visionary and they both had such immense strength. So I think that was like inbuilt, I would say.
Wow. So, and so is intuition. Inbuilt.
Yes, it's inbuilt. Indeed. Yeah, very true. Very, very true.
So getting into yourself to identify what are those qualities that are inbuilt is a journey that very few of us take to understand, to tap into who we truly are. Was this part of your journey to discover powerful intuitive powers within you? Because you are India's first intuitive coach. And that by itself is something that most of us, intuition is something most of us are gifted with, but very few tap into. So how did you tap into it? And how did you realize that this was something that you can help the rest of the world get in touch with us?
From the time I remember myself, I have always been intuitive. So that sixth sense was always, you know, walking with me, coming around wherever I go. So I would know that this place is safe or not, what kind of a person this is, what kind of a conversation is going on, maybe where this is leading to. So from the time I remember myself, there was this part of me which was very prevalent, very, very prevalent, I would say. And that's why I say maybe I'm gifted to a certain extent. Everyone is gifted, but maybe I had that, you can call it as awareness level of knowing that this is something which is there with me. Coming to fast forward, when I started coaching in 2012 and 13, because I was still working, but I was coaching people in-house, I could walk through them into their journeys, into their challenges, and I could actually see those spaces where those are. And then what kind of statement they are making in that moment. And then when I used to tell them that this is what you keep speaking all the time, and they were like, how do you know that? And I'm like, I don't know, but I know that. So at the time it was like, I don't know, but today I know where it is coming from. So from there, the journey started, because I realized that there is something which is on in the journey whenever I'm sitting with people, especially in a coaching or a discovery call conversation. Otherwise also I'm always on, but especially in those moments when I surrender and, you know, I just be as a messenger to the universe, it helps me to tune in and tap into exact that space which is the root block of that person. And that's why I say I just take 3 to 5 minutes to know what exactly is on in your world, and you're sorted, because people spend years together to identify what's the root block. There's no, because they keep on working on the superficial challenges, and then they land up there again and again and again and again feeling that we are doing so much of work, but nothing is moving. So this aspect, when it came into picture, a lot of people started to gain faster movements in their life, very fast, because now you know. So I always say that if you leave a cow on a golf course and she's tied with a peg, so she can only graze till the circumference of the circle, depending on the length of the rope, right? But if I remove that peg, the golf course is open for the cow. And so is life for a human being. So my job or my expertise is to identify that peg. A lot of people, they have reached the circumference, you know, they have reached the circumference and they are putting hell lot of effort to shift the orbit. And the orbit shifting maybe on their money front, you know, in their businesses, in their careers, in their relationships, their own health, it's not happening. But when that peg is removed, like the expansion is like a golf course, you know, it's everything is available for you. So that's where, you know, I feel that I'm blessed to be given this space. And then now, because the sampling has increased so much, like I do discovery calls all the time. I coach all the time. I work on my own intuitions. I teach people to tap into their intuitions as well through different activities, exercises. I teach in my coaching, one of the modules is to teach my clients on tapping into their own intuitions for their well-being and every area of their life, whatever they would want the growth to be. So this is a very beautiful space, Rashmi.
It is. And one question here is, who nails the peg? Is it us? Is it life? Is it the way we look at life?
It is the way we look at life, but it's knowingly and unknowingly, because our awareness level at every stage in our life is different. So we always keep on upgrading our beliefs. And if we are not, we are actually contributing to that peg.
Okay. Now, coaching, Shraddha, asks for a coach to be a very good listener, right? You do intuitive coaching and you help people tap into their intuition. So in that process, you definitely are a good listener to pick.
Yeah.
But how do you help your coachees understand their listening skills, the deep listening skills that we don't usually tap?
So there are different activities and exercises that I actually help them with. That's one. And I do it with themselves. So we are doing it together. And when we are doing it together, because I am already listening to them, what's happening inside of them, but are they able to listen to them can be checked very easily. So that is how it goes. The other activities that I do generally, if we are sitting in a group, is I would ask two people to make a pair and write about each other. What is exactly or intuitively you feel about each other? And there have been beautiful results, because a lot of things that people may not have shared, even if they have been working in a group for a longer period of time, they could just tell each other, and then there was a easy way to identify as a hit or a miss. And then you know that you are on the right path, because initially it may be 50% hit, 50% miss, and then slowly it goes on to 100% hit. And that's how you go on honing your intuitions.
True. So can you take us through you understanding that that's your niche? Because they could have been like a resilience coach, the terminologies that you could take for yourself, a resilience coach, a coach who helps understand sales, or a sales coach. How did you arrive at your niche of being an intuitive coach? What was that moment or that incident that made you understand that you are an intuitive?
I would say the journey evolved. It was not to be... I didn't start with being an intuitive coach. And today also, I focus more on businesses. So generally, I go on sharing with people that I am a business intuitive coach, or I am a business coach. And this is one of my fortes, one of the biggest fortes, I would say, one of the differentiators or the classifiers for me in the business coach industry. That is how I generally go on mentioning. So that is how it works. But intuitions, I would say, started to work more and more during the pandemic. I was doing an activity of power conversations. So even before that, I was having those, but then those power conversations, I remember very distinctively, because a lot of business owners were going through a very big challenge that businesses were shutting down, growth was not happening. So what I did was, as my contribution to the community, I started with power conversation of 20 minutes of whosoever wants to have a conversation. I will be happy to help them, as a contribution. So I would ask them two questions, that if in your industry, is there anyone who is growing in this moment? And if yes, then what are they doing differently than you that you are not doing? So those two questions actually moved them a lot. And while doing that, I could also give them this intuitive piece that here you are blocked. So I did a lot of help, like almost I would say through different sessions and different one-on-one conversations, almost 500 people during that period I went on helping to really create. And today when they come back to me and say, you saved our business and you saved us. And it's an immense space of gratitude that my skill or the best part of me was put to use for the help of the community per se. So that was the space, because the sampling suddenly increased at a very different level. And at that time, my father had just passed away and I was also coming out of the grief. So somewhere that gap started to bridge of where I wanted to go in that moment, because I was also dealing with my space, and then I started to do the power conversations and all of that. So it took me at a different space altogether. It brought me at a very different level where now I could feel that this is my space and I own it. And from that space, then no looking back. Like that was the start of it, and it's just moving and it's scaling and I'm enjoying it.
You truly are. It's very visible on your face.
That's true.
And to be in the space of joy and happiness is itself compassion that you think each one of us should take, coach or not a coach, because this is one area that many of us don't focus on, being kind to ourselves. We are kind to everyone around us other than ourselves.
Indeed.
And is it those meditation techniques? Again, meditation doesn't have to be chanting anything, just that conversation with the self. What would you recommend for people to get in touch with who they truly can be, as simple everyday techniques, like what helped you identify that with you? If you can give that, it'll be amazing to know what your journey.
I think moving from self-judgment is one of the aspects that I would always recommend. It's not easy. It's very difficult. And I have lived that space completely. And I sometimes today also live that. It's I think a part and parcel of human evolution, because we are wired like that. And you keep on owning your space all the time. But then definitely there are times when, you know, you have a question, and that question is for the best of yourself, because that's when you are going to the next level. So first of all, if you have a self-judgment, treat it as a step to the next level, because that's the space. If you dig deep, you will find that peg which you can just throw it off and just take that step and move on. Now, how do you do that? By telling yourself that it's okay if you couldn't be that today. Can you do something to be that tomorrow? Can you do something to be that in the next moment? And slowly, steadily, you build up on that. Slowly, steadily, you build up on that. And then slowly, steadily, you also identify what makes you joyous, what makes you happy. And then out of 24 hours, if you could live a few hours a day in that joyous space and build upon it slowly, slowly, slowly. I think that's the quest of life, isn't it, Rashmi, at the end of it?
True. True, Shraddha. And here rises my next curious question.
Yeah. So before that, I want to mention one one more thing. Like in my book, Circle of Perspectives, I have written down a term which I call it as rebound time. So if you are feeling low, self-judgmental, maybe today you might be taking 2 days to overcome that. Tomorrow, if you move a bit on yourself, you know, you invest in yourself by just sitting with yourself 30 minutes a day or 5 minutes a day, even observing yourself as an observer, what's happening. That rebound time may come down to 1 day, half a day, 4 hours, 2 hours, you know, and that is the quest of life. If you see the yogis or the people who are at that level where you look up to them, that okay, they're not impacted, but that's not true. They are impacted as well because they are human beings, and we are bound to have emotions. But what matters is what is your rebound time. Theirs is like few seconds. It goes into the head. It doesn't reach the heart because it's fizzled out before that. For us, it goes into the head. It reaches the heart. It stays in the heart maybe for years altogether. And then you make an effort to clean it up, and then still you keep on gathering until you make a point to cut that cord, you know, between the head and the heart somewhere to allow yourself to own your space and live with peace. So I think that's important. So for me, my quest of life is to shrink and shrink and shrink that rebound time as much as I can so that I live with peace.
Okay. So now that you've taken us through this, a curious question here, is intuition equal to surrender? Because that's again one more very difficult process to surrender. Is intuition equal to acceptance?
I think intuition is working parallelly to acceptance and surrender. Acceptance always happens first, and then the surrender happens. You know, there is no surrender without acceptance. That's what I believe, because you can't surrender unless you are ready to accept what's on. So acceptance and surrender, if you see it as a vertical line, intuition is another parallel vertical line to it, aiding to your acceptance and aiding to your surrender. So you can treat it as equal to acceptance based on your awareness level. Again, the stage of your life you are, how you are able to perceive it and how you're able to define it for yourself. And intuition is equal to surrender as well for a lot of people. Same for me, as in the space of surrender, specifically when I am conversations like this, we are having a conversation, I've completely surrendered and we are just having fun with it. And this is how it goes for me. And I think that's what matters. So it's there as acceptance. It's there as surrender. It's there. If you look at self-judgment also and you become an observer, your intuition will tell you that you are becoming self-judgment. Otherwise, you will not be able to identify that you are being self-judgmental, right? So it's at every level available. It's walking as a parallel line from your negative most emotion to your positive most emotion. And that's how I look at it. Because if you can tap into yourself will tell you that you are being like that. Otherwise, you will not come to know, right? If you're judging yourself, you will not come to know unless you're tapping into your space as a space of awareness and intuitions. Yeah.
And when, if at all, and whenever, when do intuitions go wrong?
Intuitions never go wrong.
Surrender, acceptance are all parallel lines, and parallel lines never meet. So
when you are right.
Correct.
So intuitions never go wrong because you can say anything out to the world, but you know internally what's happening. And, you know, it's either you accept, you deny, you run away from it, or you enjoy with that. It's all your choice. So that's all available in the space of intuition. So that's what I say. So that's how it is. So they never go wrong. Yeah.
Okay. So since you are in this reflective space, which most of us were pushed into in the last 2.5-3 years, most unexpected, and everyone was struggling to understand what is happening to them and the world around them. The pandemic was our biggest teacher in recent times. All of us have taken some lessons, most of us in the perils of forgetting it, getting back to our routine life. What have your reflections from the pandemic been, Shraddha?
The reflections have been, empathy is one. I think that is the most important one for me. the biggest realization had been how your life is precious and, you know, how much you take it for granted. So though I had been helping people and everything was on and, you know, and during that time, because we had to take my father for chemotherapy or blood transfusion during the pandemic times to hospital, it was scary. It was scary that, oh, what if you catch it? What if he catches it? And, you know, all of that. But with God's grace, none of us, you know, got it. We got it later, much later, but not in that deep moments of pandemic. So I feel that the best learning has been for me is everything is precious. So, you know, take care of it. That's one. And the second, and again, the most important one is the world is open platform for you. Because during the pandemic, the physical existence of boundaries actually, you know, fizzled away completely. And we could connect to anyone and everyone across the borders, across the countries and all of that. And I felt that that oneness, if we could have any which ways, right? Like, we didn't want pandemic to make it happen. But if that oneness could be felt and lived, that's going to be a very beautiful space to belong to. And the world is open for you, because I myself scaled a lot during pandemic, because I did sessions for across the border, across the countries, different people I coached. So it was very good to see that, you know, you just need to have wings and you can fly. I think there's no physical boundary as such. So that was another opening, a big opening for me, that, you know, what are you thinking about within your city or your state or your country? There's no boundary now. You know, you're boundless, you're borderless. That is how it is. So that has been a very beautiful way. And when I talk about oneness, I genuinely feel that today we have, as a human being, we have so much of energy, right? That's another topic I talk about apart from intuitions. It's the energy space. So we all have so much of energy, and a lot of our energy is actually going in to bring up the people who are into the negative spaces. So it's like we have collectively so much of energy available, and out of that collective energy, a large chunk of it is going into bringing up the people into negative, who are into the negative space. So I don't want to tag people here. I want to say large chunk of energy is going into, you know, leveling up the negative energy, which is existing on the planet. But versus if we use that energy, which is there to uplift the planet or to uplift the space we are living in, I think we'll be at a very different level. So that is another mission or a quest that I am on, that, you know, through intuitions, because when you tap into your intuitions and when you tap into your own energy, there's nothing, that is not possible. Everything is possible. Maybe not now. Maybe you will build some skills of resilience, some skills of patience. All of that is going to happen, but then that's going to happen for good, because if you have a big desire, you have a desire to evolve and, you know, create, that is going to be fulfilled. But then whatever is required inside of you to live that is also going to get built through different incidents and events in your life. So don't look at it like, you know, today. Look at it, the holistic journey of your life. And when you look back at 60, 70, you know, what is it that you want to look at? And then just go on, surrender that it's going to happen. And that's it. Like, have fun with it.
Yeah. You know, a couple of episodes prior, I had Tim Bunting, who's a Yamabushi warrior, a New Zealander who moved to Japan to learn. And one of the concepts he picked is uketamo, which is to accept.
Yes.
And what you're speaking is so similar as well. It's difficult, but not impossible, but a beautiful space to be in for sure, if you are in the process of learning to surrender.
Indeed.
Because
indeed,
it's magical. It's magical.
It's magical. And I always say intuitions are magical because they help you to.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a faster way to surrender. You don't have to really sit with yourself for hours together to get to that space of surrender. There's no pathway. Like people feel surrender. Oh, I have to go to Himalayas and do something to get to surrender. It's not required, you know. If you just tune into yourself, your intuitions, I think that's the space of surrender, any which ways. And that's where I believe that when we have a simpler method, why do you want to do all the hard work, you know, going to Himalayas and just tune into your intuitions and get it done, you know, faster and live peacefully.
So you've given us so many little things that we can do. So three life lessons, Shraddha, from you before we leave.
The first one is keep learning. Because if you, the moment you stop learning, I think the whole game goes for a toss, because you are not here just for this lifetime. You know, you are, I'm going into the spiritual journey, but then that's how it is as a human life. And you carry some stuff from this to the other side and all of that. So there may be challenges, there may be failures, there may be a lot of turmoil, immense turmoil. And I know I have coached a lot of people who have gone through a real big spaces in their lives. And so it may be there in your lives at the moment. But the first thing is, if you keep learning to come out of it bit by bit in whatever way you can, rather than just succumbing to what's going on, I think that's one space and that's one life lesson that I have, is keep learning. That's important. Second one is, for me, it's the impact that you are creating to the humanity. And I feel that I want to leave the world in a much better space than I was born into. So the second life lesson for me is contribution. Whatever it is, just go on contributing in whatever way you can. And I'm coming up with a space called as SJT Wellness Center in the name of my parents. That is to bridge the gap between treatment and healing. Because as I said, treatment is received by most of the cancer patients, but then best of the cancer treatments cannot give the healing for the person to survive. So there is a need of this space to help the cancer patients connect with themselves emotionally, mentally, build that strength and that resilience to go through the treatment seamlessly with less effort of resisting that treatment, so that the healing occurs and then they live life peacefully. So this is one of my contributions, you know, being a messenger to my parents' journey. That is how it is. So the second space, I feel the second life lesson for me is definitely contribution. And third one is to love unconditionally, whatever way you can, in whatever, you know, mode you can. And if someone is giving something to you which you don't like, you know, to develop that power that you receive it and gracefully convert it love and give it back to that person, is, I think, that's the third life lesson for me, with whatever awareness and understanding of life I have so far. So that's about it, Rashmi. So these three are the ones: keep learning, contribution, and keep loving. That's it. Yeah, I mean, if that's happening, I think life is sorted completely.
Yeah, it is. Because what you took us through, Shraddha, for me, are two very well-known facts. And now people are acknowledging it slowly, but definitely. One is that life happens while we are busy planning for it. And the second beautiful quote that goes along is that we are spiritual beings on a human journey. So getting in touch with that spiritual side makes our journey that much more meaningful.
Indeed. It makes it easier, I believe, with that knowing, that acceptance that nothing is going to be permanent. It's fine. You just do whatever you are doing. And if you are grilled in a positive manner, as a, you know, you've been talking about negative, grilled in a positive manner, take it that, you know, you are meant to do something big. You are meant to do something better in this life itself. So take it, you know, enjoy it in that phase also. It's easier to say, I know I have lived that space, you know, I'm an example, a big example, I would say, of all the space. But then over a period of time, I've realized that it's okay. You know, you will identify your course and your path. Maybe you will start off late, but then it's important where you finish. So,
oh, yes.
Yes. And so, being a sports person, I am a great finisher. So I know that I'm going to finish big time, a big vision. And whatever the space is, then it makes me enjoy that, whatever way it is.
Yeah, that's so true. Because
Finish big.
Yeah, that is such a beautiful and positive statement to end with, because that should be our goal, to finish big. It's like that movie, Anand. Zindagi lambi nahi, badi honi
chahiye. Badi honi chahiye, correct. That's truly like it. Whatever it is, finish big. So that, you know, when you look back, you don't have any regrets, anything basically, you know. And that can happen from now itself. Like when you look back today, are you feeling some regret? So start shedding from now itself. You know, that's the space we all need to be in, so that you finish big. So if you're finishing now itself, you should know you're finishing big now. That's how it should be.
So make each moment matter.
Yeah, and then yeah. The surrender is causing all this conversation to come out. But I'm really glad, Rashmi, that this came up, and this has given me immense joy to speak to you in these moments.
Likewise, Shraddha, honor to have had you on You and I with Rashmi Shetty. Just the thought of living every moment big, because we don't know when is the last, itself is a huge way of living life. So thank you so much for the beautiful lesson that you're leaving us with, and for sharing your entire journey on this conversation. God bless
you. Thank you so much, Rashmi. It's been an honor equally to be here and having this conversation. Immense joy and gratitude. Thank you so much.
Likewise. Take care. Bye. Bye. With that, we come to the end of this weekly quest of You and I with Rashmi Shetty. Do let us know if you know people who make the world beautiful. Write in to rashmi.thethirdeye@gmail.com. That is rashmi.thethirdeye@gmail.com. Come, let's explore this amazing world together, both you and I.